Liberia's presidential election is now likely to be held in October, as a proposed delay until November fell short in a recent referendum, according to results from over 99% of the votes announced by poll organizers. The August 23rd referendum, seen by many as a dry run for Liberia's second post-war election, saw a low turnout and tens of thousands of spoilt ballots, but there were no reports of violence despite fears of mounting tensions. The Catholic bishops of Liberia have appealed to citizens to look at the forthcoming poll in the West African nation as a crucial moment in its democratic development. Festus Tarawali from the English Africa section of Vatican Radio spoke to the Archbishop of Monrovia, Louis Jerome Ziegler, who says the best way to serve the nation is through the ballot box.
Your Grace, I would like to know what prompted you to write this pastoral letter dedicated entirely to the elections.
In any country, the selection of a leader is very, very important. And ours is no exception. We see this election as a turning point in the history of our country. We want our citizens to know that it is very important for them when they make the decision to choose a leader, that decision must be a genuine one. It must be for the love of the country, so that whatever decision they make will lead us and the children coming after to enjoy what the country should enjoy. Because we have many people who will come out and declare their support for anybody, for anything that they can get in hand. Now, this is not it. We want the person to vote, not for themselves, not for any friend, but for the country, the love of the country. That is what prompted us.
And how are you getting this message across to the voters and to the candidates for the elections?
The first thing we did was to get a few of the papers in the country to carry them. And then we are trying to get our radio station, Radio Veritas, to kind of read it in session. And also in the churches, we ask our priests to help our people to get this message across.
And you cited various ills or social problems facing Liberian society. For example, you cite poverty, illiteracy, ritual killings, and corruption. What is responsible for some of these problems, and what do you think should be done to address them?
It is very difficult to pinpoint something that will really come out clear, the reason why people do these things. Corruption is deep down in a Liberian society. Sometimes when people talk about corruption, they are only thinking about those who are in government or those who are high up. But it is deep down in the society. In every little thing, we see people are trying to practice what we call corruption. Okay, maybe the key point in this particular thing concerning corruption is the level of poverty. After we have gone through these decades, a decade and a half of civil war, we destroy everything. Everything that people ever worked for disappear. People are hungry and very anxious to get these things back. And so, whatever means they feel they can use, well, they use it. And most of these means are not the right means. Like we said, corruption ritualistic killing. Well, this particular one talk about killing another person in order to win or to get rich.
Is it something happening now, or it's been there before?
Oh, this has been in this country for many years. I mean, since I came to know myself, I have been hearing about it. Yes, it has been here.
And why do you think it's more pronounced now at this time, in the run-up to the elections?
Well, but I think it's the same primitive idea we have about thinking that in order to win something, we have to offer the blood of a human being, which in the primitive society, it used to be the highest point of sacrifice. So people want to use this mean in order to get to where they want to be. And this is a primitive practice in this modern day society. It shouldn't be the case, but it's being done. And that's the reason why we mentioned it in the pastoral letter.
And in practical terms, how are you helping people to know that it's wrong to take another person's life?
Well, we are doing it through the preaching in the church, and then, but we talk about it. People are caught and they are punished, and it still goes on. So it is, again, another belief, primitive belief, that has permeated the society and is in the blood of those concerned who are doing it, believing and thinking that it is right. We have tried. We try every way in the church and outside of the church, but still it's been done.
And as you rightly said, Your Grace, Liberia is recovering from a brutal 11-year civil war, and I think since the government of President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf was sworn in, there are a lot of developments that have taken place, but then the country still faces challenges in reconciliation, in trying to get justice for those who were victims of the civil war. What is the church doing in that area of, you know, promoting reconciliation, justice and peace, as a direct echo of the Second African Synod, for instance?
Okay. Since 2003, when we started sensing this, the end of the war, the church has tried in many ways, apart from delivering sermons that will unify people, we have the Justice and Peace Commission. I remember when I was in the Diocese of Gwanga, the Justice and Peace Commission was so much involved with the people in the interior part of the country. They will run these workshops with them. They will take them to come together, and they will go through these things. At the end, they will have what we call a community meal. They will cook the meal and everyone share in it. It was done within the tribal group. It was done between the Christians and the Muslims in that particular area. And we saw this as happening greatly. But there is still much to be done. We cannot say that we have a total peace. What we usually say is the peace is fragile and we have to do much in order to make it work. We know we are conscious of it, and the little we can do in the church, we are doing.
And of course, a referendum was held on the was it on the 23rd of August, to change four clauses to the constitution and the electoral laws of the country, including the residency requirement, moving forward the date of the elections, the retirement age for judges, and whether candidates can win by a simple majority. I read a news item just now, just in that half of those who have a right to vote in that referendum didn't cast their ballot. I would like to know, what was the position of the church regarding these issues that we have voted on?
The church did not issue an official position on it. What we tried to do was to encourage people to go and vote. Even if you wanted to say no to all, you say no. And if you wanted to say yes, you say yes. We did not issue anything official. What we did, we encouraged all citizens and even members of the church to go out on that day to vote. And I think we did our own. We saw it in this society as a way of trying to help the citizens to sometimes decide some of the things themselves, to look at issues and say, no, I will not do this, I will do that. And this was the main thing. But the church did not come up with any official statement on it.
Yeah, because I know, for example, the issue regarding residency requirements. I think the law at the moment says 10 years residency, but people wanted it to be reduced to 5 years because during the war, many Liberians left the country, went abroad.
Yes, that was one of the clauses. And, well, as I said, we did not make any official statement on it.
And in fact, at the beginning of the pastoral letter, you wanted people to know that the Bishops' Conference of Liberia is now fully established. What are the challenges that lie ahead for the church in Liberia as it seeks to be more Liberian and self-reliant?
The challenges are many. And I think the starting point is ourselves first, the church. For the past few years, we had only one bishop heading and leading the conference. The others were apostolic administrators. And so many things were kind of left undone. We could not move forward because my fear was it would be, well, one person took this decision, one person decided to do this. So we are grateful now that we have a full conference. Now, the challenges. First, we look at ourselves, the clergy, the religious, the laity. Try to reunite ourselves to work together to build a church that we want. Now, when we get on the outside of the society in which we live, we have many challenges that we have to address, many, and then just difficult to start pinpointing them. But you talk about the problem of corruption, and it's a serious problem. It's one that we have to address. You talk about the question of unity, that also is a serious problem that we have to address. And in this modern society, you talk about somebody killing the other person to get rich or in order to win a position. These are just a few of the things. But then we must also address the question of the youth in the society. 15 years of brutal civil war has really turned the minds of everyone the other way around. A lot of challenges in that area. We talk about the question of a sound family life. We need to address those questions too. Yet, with all the all these, we are faced with limited resources. First, we have the brain drain, the financial part, and all of these. So we really have a long list of problems and difficulties that we have to face. But with our trust and faith in God, we are hoping for the best.